Thank you so much, Mataji. Thanks to everyone who have joined today. So we are sorry for the delay. So we are continuing to read from Srimad Valmiki Ramayana, and we are doing Kishkindha Kanda now. We've already had one class on Kishkindha Kanda, and we will continue from there. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaya Tekirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharinam Namavom Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Radhanatha Swaminiti Namane Namavom Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshtarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ప్రేయర్స్ టు వాల్మీకి హనుమాన్ అండ్ లార్డ్ రామచంద్ర యూజంతం రామరామీతి మధురం మధురాక్షరం ఆరుహ్య కవితాశాఖాం వందే వాల్మీకి కోకిలం వాల్మీకే మునిసింహస్య కవితావనచారేణ శృణ్వన్ రామకథానాథం కోణయాతి పరాంగతిం వేదవేదే పరే పుంసే జాతే దశరథాత్మజే వేద ప్రాచేతసాదాసే సాక్షాత్ రామాయణాత్మన అంజనానందనం వీరం జానకీ శోకనాశనం కపీశం అక్షహంతారం వందే లంకాభయంకరం మనోజవం మారుదతుల్యవేగం జితేంద్రియం బుద్ధిమతం వరిష్టం వాతాత్మజం వానరయూధముఖ్యం శ్రీరామదూతం శిరసానమామి ఆంజనేయ మదిపాటనాలనం కాంచనాద్రి కమనీయ విగ్రహం పారిజాత తరుమూలవాసినం భావయామి భవమాననందనం యత్ర యత్ర రఘునాథ కీర్తనం తత్ర తత్ర కృత మస్తకాంజలిం బాష్పవారి పరిపూర్ణలోచనం మారుతిం నమత రాక్షసాంతకం శ్రీరాఘవం దశరథాత్మజం అప్రమేయం ఆజానుబాహుం అరవింద దయాళదాక్షం రామం నిశాచర వినాశకం నమామి. So, we have already started Kishkindha Kanda, and in the previous class, we saw how Rama and Lakshmana, both of them, they met Shabari, and then they proceeded towards Rishyamukha Parvat. And when they went close to Rishyamukha Parvat, Hanuman came in disguise to check who they were, because Sugriva was very scared seeing them. So Hanuman came in disguise. And Hanuman and Rama Lakshmana, they had a brief conversation, and Hanuman understood their identity, and he took them to Sugriva and introduced Ram Lakshman to Sugriva. And then once they were introduced to each other, Sugriva's fear was dispelled, and Lord Ramachandra shared his story with Sugriva, and Sugriva shared his own story with Rama. So Sugriva told about Vali, and how because of a misunderstanding with his brother, Vali drove him away. He told him the story of Mayavi and Dundubi and the entire story of the misunderstanding between the two brothers, and how he was driven away from the kingdom, and he has taken residence of Rishyamukha Parvat. And also he told him the story of how Vali actually took away his wife Ruma without her interest. She was forcibly taken away by Vali. So we'll continue from here for today's class. So after hearing whatever Sugriva told about his story, after hearing all that, Rama said, see, my dear Sugriva, by my experience, I know how it is to be separated from your wife, from a person's wife. So from my experience, I can see how you are so drowned in a sea of sadness. I can feel your pain. So to make you get over that sea of emotions and the sadness that you're going through, I will definitely help you to somehow or the other regain the kingdom that you have lost and regain your wife. So when Sugriva heard this, he was extremely happy with the assurance of Lord Ram. And then Sugriva began to speak about the strength of Vali to Rama so that Rama can be ready to face Vali. Now see, Rama has promised Sugriva that he will somehow help conquer Vali and help him regain the kingdom as well as regain his wife. So now Rama has to face this great warrior Vali, this big monkey warrior Vali. So there is a promise that is, before he can go ahead to face Vali, Sugriva, he tries to tell him about the strength of Vali. So he begins to talk about Vali, about his brother, how strong he is. So he says, before dawn of the sun, actually Vali, he jumps from one ocean to the other. He jumps from the Western Ocean to the Eastern Ocean, and then he jumps from the Southern Ocean to the Northern Ocean, offering oblations to the rising sun, just like how we do, the offerings, like we do Sandhya Vandanam. So like that, he jumps from one ocean to the other. He's so powerful, he can jump from one direction to the other, just offering oblations to the sun. Then he said, Vali can climb huge mountains, and he picks up huge rocks on tops of mountains, and he volleys them with his strength, like, you know, like you play volleyball, like that. He throws them around just like playthings. And just to show his strength and display his strength with his enemies, Vali can personally knock down many trees. He tells Ram, see Ram, I already told you about the story of how he killed Dundubi, that buffalo Dundubi. So Sugriva, he pointed out to a mountain close by, and he showed Ram, see, that is the huge heap of bones of the demon Dundubi that Vali had killed. He killed that demon and he flung the bones on the mountain. So you can see a huge pile there nearby. That is actually the bones of Dundubi. So not only that, I will show you one more thing that indicates his strength. See those seven enormous sala trees that are there nearby? They are full. They are huge trees. And Vali is capable of making each of them leafless just by his vigor, just by shaking them. In fact, if he just pierces one arrow through this tree, it will come out through the other direction. So he is so strong. Vali is extremely strong. So just tell me, Ram, how is it that you are going to face him in the war and defeat him? So I want to know how it is possible. So like that, he asks Ramachandra. Now, when he's talking like this, Lakshmana was listening to this whole thing. So Lakshmana smiled and he said, he asked Sugriva, so you tell me now, on performing what act will you accept that Ram can defeat Vali? So then Sugriva turned to Lakshman and he said, as I mentioned, Vali can agitate all these huge seven sala trees. He's extremely powerful. Just by the mere might of his hand, he can do that. And as I also mentioned, if he pierces just one arrow, it will just come out through the other direction. He is so powerful. So I can be assured that you can kill Vali if you can, pierce just one arrow through these trees, through this one tree. Even if you pierce one arrow, Ram, through the tree, or through one of these seven trees, I will be happy. Or the other thing I want you to do is to prove that you can fight with Vali is that you have to lift this skeleton of bones of this dead buffalo, Dundubi, with the might of your foot, and make it travel, that is by kicking it, it should travel to 200 bow lengths. If you do this, I will be convinced. So there are two tests put by Sugriva to Lord Sri Ramachandra so that he can be convinced that Vali can be defeated by Ram. So Sugriva, after he said this, he paused for a few minutes and he looked at Ram and he saw how Ram was reacting, because Ram was by now very, very angry with Vali. He was building up his anger so that he could fight with Vali. So looking at the reaction of Ram, Sugriva, he told Lord Ram, see, I take shelter under you. You're the final resort for those who are seeking salvation. I've heard about this. But that mighty brother of mine, that Vali, is extremely powerful. And I know about it. I know how powerful he is. But about your valor, I'm not really sure because I've not seen it with my eyes. So please don't think that I'm examining you or demanding you or trying to intimidate you. It is not like that. I'm just asking you to prove to me. And the reason I'm asking you to prove to me is not because that, you know, you don't have the valor or something. It's more because of my cowardice. I am scared. Just to make my mind satisfied, can you please prove to me? So, just by seeing you, Lord Ram, I can understand that there is some kind of radiance that is coming from you. And you are a person who's like ash covered with fire. So there's something within you. I know that for sure. I'm not testing you. Again, I'm telling you, I'm not testing you. But please, just to remove this fear from my mind, can you please show me these two things? So when Ram heard this from Sugriva, with a smiling face, he told Sugriva, see, with my action, I can prove to you and I can show you that I can handle Vali without any problem. So then he just went to the skeleton of Dundubi that was lying down, and with his big toe of his feet, Rama just flicked it, just flicked the body of the demon, and not just two bow lengths, it went 10 yojanas distance. It just went flying and it fell just by the mere flicking of his toe. The whole demon's skeleton went flying 10 yojanas away. Now, Sugriva was very, very happy when he saw this. He was so thrilled. He didn't expect this much power. So he was very happy. But then he thought for a minute, and then he went and told Ram, see, Ram, this body of this skeleton is actually without flesh. So it is rendered to a very strawy condition. There is no flesh. There's no wetness to it. It's the body is all gone. It's just bones. So you have flipped it you have flipped it with your toe. That is really great. But now you're young and energetic. It is expected out of a warrior to do such a feat. The condition of a body is different when it is dried up rather than when it has the flesh, right? So there is more wetness and there is more weight when the body has all the flesh and water and muscles and everything. So therefore, I'm not able to correctly assess whether you will really be able to defeat Vali just by kicking bones. So now we don't have the flesh of this demon. So can you please do the other test? Even if you rip off a single sala tree out of the might of your arrow, I'll be very happy. So Rama, he smiled and he said, okay, no problem, I will do that also. And he took out his bow. And he aimed it at the sala trees. Actually, there were 7 sala trees there. He aimed it at one. And the minute he released the arrow, the twanging of his bow actually reverberated in all directions. And the golden arrow that was released by Ram perforated not just one tree, but all the 7 sala trees. And not only that, it came out through the 7th tree and it leveled the areas of the mountains. It entered the earth and then it came back to Ram's bow. So that arrow not only drilled one tree that was asked by Sugriva, but it drilled all the 7 trees. It also made the mountain close by to core. It just crashed it down and it entered the subterranean planets like Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Patala, all that. And it came back to Ram's bow. So just one arrow, it just did everything in front of Sugriva. So Sugriva was very, very satisfied when he saw this act of Lord Ram. Now, these 7 sala trees that I'm talking about. In Ramayana, it's mentioned as sala trees. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a mention about these 7 trees as the Saptatala trees that served Lord Ramachandra and his mission. Remember when we were doing the South India Yatra by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we saw how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most compassionate incarnation, during his South India Yatra, he came to Kishkindha area, he visited Rishyamukha Parvat, he took a dip in the Pampa Sarovar, and not only that, he came here to the 7 tala trees that were still remaining, which had served Lord Ram. He came there and he embraced each one of these 7 trees, and immediately the 7 trees went back to the spiritual world. So these 7 trees were actually waiting for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. And once they were embraced by the magic touch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they just vanished and went back to the spiritual world. And people who saw this miracle happening, they could immediately understand that this is none other than Lord Sri Ramachandra. Because only Lord Sri Ramachandra can do this to these 7 trees. When Lord Ram was there during his incarnation, he only perforated the trees to show his might. The trees served him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back and he gifted these trees. He sent these trees back to Godhead. So that is the extreme mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sometimes it is mentioned as tala trees, palm trees. Sometimes it is mentioned as sala trees. So in Ramayana, we see it as sala trees. So these 7 sala trees, they were completely fissured. That is, they were cracked and there were holes made in that. And when Sugriva saw this act of Lord Sri Ramachandra, he became very, very happy. And Sugriva folded his palms and he knelt down with his ornaments. He prostrated in front of Lord Ramachandra with his head touching the ground. And he completely surrendered. He said, with your arrows, Lord Ram, you're capable of eliminating everyone. You're even capable of eliminating Indra, or to speak of Vali. So Sugriva was thoroughly convinced. Then after Ram actually proved himself to Sugriva, Ram told Sugriva, now it is time for you. You should proceed towards Kishkindha. Go ask Vali for a duel with him and I will help you now. So then it was time for Sugriva to go and call Vali for a fight. So tightening his belt, Sugriva with all valor went to the entrance of Vali's kingdom. Because see, this is also Kishkindha, of course, where this whole thing was happening. It is in Rishyamukha Parvat. It's, you can say, away from the actual kingdom. So now Sugriva goes to the exact place where Vali was staying. And in the night, he shouted out, he goes there at the entrance and he called out Vali for a duel. He called him out. So hearing the voice of Sugriva, Vali got very angry. Oh, this my brother, he's come back and he's trying to fight with me again. So he came out, Vali came out, and both Sugriva and Vali began to fight a fierce duel. So at that time, Lord Sri Ramachandra, this is the first attempt, okay? First attempt of Sugriva and Vali trying to fight with each other. This was their first attempt. So at that time, Lord Ramachandra, he was wielding his bow and he was watching from a distance, about how these two brothers were so similar in appearance, like the Ashwini twins, Ashwin twins. You have these Ashwini demigods, right? So just like them, very, very similar in look, how they were fighting. Lord Ram was looking at that from a distance and Lord Ram couldn't differentiate between Sugriva and Vali. So he didn't make up his mind to release the arrow. Because by any chance, if he had released the arrow towards the wrong person, Sugriva will die, right? So he was very, very cautious. Ram didn't release the arrow. But Sugriva was totally unable to, handle Vali. Vali was getting more and more powerful and he was beating him down. And Sugriva had no choice. He was looking in all directions to see if Lord Ram is available to help him. But he couldn't find Lord Ram. And Lord Ram was not killing Vali either. So then Sugriva thought, there is no point for me, to stay like this around Vali anymore because Vali is backing me down. He thought like that and he ran away back to Rishyamukha Parvat. And Vali was chasing him back to Rishyamukha Parvat. But when he entered Rishyamukha, Vali thought, okay, you're going inside Rishyamukha so that you can be safe. And I cannot enter Rishyamukha, so you go away today, but I will handle you some other day. He says like that and he goes back. Now, then Sugriva came back to Rishyamukha and he came back and Ram also came back. Ram and Lakshmana, both of them, they came back to see Sugriva. Sugriva felt very ashamed. He felt that he couldn't handle Vali. And he also felt very bad that Ram didn't help him because Ram had promised him that he would help him. So with his eyes turned down, he couldn't see Ram face to face. He was upset. He was kind of angry. He was kind of ashamed. He had so many emotions going on within himself, Sugriva. So with his eyes turned down towards the earth and with a very piteous voice, he couldn't just see Ram eye to eye. He told Ram, see Ram, you encouraged me. You showed me how great you are. You showed me your dexterity. You proved to me everything. And you encouraged me to invite Vali for a fight, but you let me down in front of my enemy. If you told me before itself that you cannot help me, I wouldn't have come so far to fight with Vali. I wouldn't have called him again. Now I'm inviting more and more trouble. Why did you do this to me? So like that, he asked Lord Ram. So at that time, Ram, when he heard this pathetic voice of Sugriva talking these words, Ram told Sugriva, my dear Sugriva, don't be angry with me. Listen to me why I didn't release that arrow and protect you. See, you and your brother, both of you, by your ornamentation, your attire, the way you look, the physicality, your movements, everything. You look alike. Even your voice, your bodily glow, your bravery, your speech, everything is so similar. I'm not able to make any difference. But from a distance, I'm looking at both of you. Both of you are looking exactly similar. And I was confused in the similarity of yours that I didn't want to release an arrow that would harm you in any way. That's why I didn't release the arrow. So my dear Sugriva, listen to my words. Please don't doubt me. Go again. Go again. Go ask Wali to come for a fight. And with a single arrow of mine, I will make Wali fall down. Then I have a plan in mind, Ram says. He looks at Lakshmana and he tells Lakshmana, you go pick up that beautiful Gajapushpi creeper that is growing there and garland it around Sugriva so that I can differentiate between Sugriva and Wali. So when Lakshmana was given this order, immediately Lakshmana picked that creeper, which is called as the Gajapushpi, that has Gajapushpa flowers growing in it, and he swung it around the neck of Sugriva like a garland, and then Sugriva was now ready with a proper identification, that could distinguish between him and Wali, and he was asked to go and confront Wali again. So this is the second attempt of Sugriva going to fight with Wali. Now, during the second attempt, now from Rishyamukha, again they have to go back to the Kishkindra kingdom, where Wali is residing. So again, when they were moving towards Kishkindra for the second time, there are some nice, interesting things that have happened on the way that is written in Valmiki Ramayana. This was not there during the first time they went to meet Wali. Maybe they took a different direction, I'm not sure, but this is what is mentioned in Valmiki Ramayana. So the second time when they were going on the way, they came across a very beautiful hermitage that belonged to the Saptajanas. They are called as the Saptajana Rishis. These are the seven persons with their heads, held downwards and their leg upwards. They are always in Shirasasana. They always stand in Shirasasana, upside down, in that kind of a yogic posture. And they are always reclining on water. So these are called as the Saptajanas. And the Saptajanas, they would make their diet. They were actually rishis, they were ascetics. They would make their diet by just inhaling air, that too once in 7 days. And they practiced several austerities for more than 700 years they were actually there. And that hermitage had beautiful encircling trees for the compound wall. And it was so inaccessible that even Indra and all the demigods and demons could not enter that ashram. And no animals or birds, even by mistake, entered that hermitage, even unknowingly. But if unknowingly something by mistake happened to fall there or something, like a bird or something that just entered that place by mistake, it would not return. So it was a very, very beautiful ashram and very mystical place. And the beautiful notes of music and the divine fragrance was coming out from that ashram. And there was a thick plume of ritualistic fire, that yajnik fire that was coming out from that ashram. So Ram and Lakshman, they were very curious to know what this was. And they asked Sugriva, and they heard about the glories of these sages from Sugriva. And when they heard about all these glories, Ram and Lakshman, they folded their palms and they offered obeisances and they took blessings of these Saptajanas before they could again go and fight. Okay, so once they offered obeisances to these Saptajanas from outside the ashram, Ram, Lakshman, Sugriva and all the other monkeys, they all worshipped these sages in their mind and with their body, and then they proceeded towards Kishkindra seeking their blessings. Now, then, Ram, before Sugriva went to call Wali again, he gave him the promise, today itself, my dear Sugriva, I will set you free from this enemy and I will release you. I will release Wali. I will kill Wali just with a single arrow of mine when you're fighting. So Ram gives this promise, today it will happen, he tells. And then Sugriva goes to call out for Wali. So by this time, it was night time. Okay? So Sugriva, he went to the entrance of the palace and he shouted out for Wali to come out and fight with him. Now at this time, Wali was sleeping. And in his sleep, he could hear someone screaming out, hey Wali, come out. Someone was screaming. So he got disturbed and he got very angry because again he was hearing the voice of his brother. So he got so angry. Why is he coming? I just whacked him down and I sent him away. Again, he has come and he got very irritated and he began to storm outside. So when in his anger, when he was running outside, his dear wife Tara, Vali's wife Tara, stepped in and she stopped him with a lot of love in her eyes and with goodwill and actually even fear. She was actually a little worried why her husband was running out in the night like this. She went and she embraced him. She's considered as a very wise woman, Tara. So she went and she told him, "My dear husband, why are you so angry? Why are you running out in the night like this? You can fight with him tomorrow during the early hours. Don't go out now." And I really feel this is not the right time. You should go. Don't be so angry. Please don't run out. But Vali couldn't constrain himself. He was so angry. He just wanted to go and fight with Sugriva. Then Tara told him to calm down. And Tara told him, "See, my dear husband, Sugriva came previously also. And both of you had a battle. You were about to destroy him and again he ran away in fear. But now he's coming back again. See, already one duel has happened. He has run away in fear. But what is the reason for him to come back? I have a doubt in my mind." You listen to the tone, the arrogance in his tone, the way he's shouting and the rampage he's doing outside. All his activities seem to cause some doubt in me. I don't think Sugriva has come here unaccompanied. Sugriva seems to have gained someone's support. See, my dear husband, by nature, Sugriva is an expert and a very, very clever person. He does not enter into friendship with anyone without examining his capabilities. I feel he has got the friendship of someone who's protecting him and who's trying to guard him. That's why he's come out with all new energy and a lot of arrogance in his voice. He's calling you out again. So there is something in this. Please don't go. Not only that, she says, our dear son Angada. Angada is the son of Tara and Vali. So our dear son Angada has given me an important information. Listen to it. Angada told me that our spies have gone around and they have found out that two Kshatriyas born in the Ikshvaku dynasty, the sons of the king of Ayodhya, Dasharath, these two brothers who are very valorous, who cannot be conquered in any war, they are called as Rama and Lakshmana. They have come here in this country. And it appears that these two have developed a friendship with Sugriva. And they are ready to satisfy Sugriva's desire. And I've also heard this Rama is not an ordinary person. Rama is known to give shelter to those who are surrendered to him. He's like a tree who gives shelter. Tara, this verse is very famous. It says, Nivasa Vrikshah Sadhu Nam Apanna Nam Paragatihi. That means Lord Ramachandra is like a tree for the surrendered. He gives all shelter to the surrendered. Arthanam Samshaya Chaiva Yashasaha Cha Eka Dajanam. So there is a lot of commentary on this particular verse of what Tara says. She describes the glories of Lord Ram as she has heard from all the messengers and what people have been speaking. See, she says, Nivasa Vriksha. Tara compares Rama to a tree that is offering a place to stay. Nivasa means to go stay, right? So it's giving protection. A tree never asks someone, a person who goes to take protection under a tree, they don't ask permission from the tree. They just don't follow formalities like, may I come in? Like if you're entering someone's house, you'll ask permission to get in. But when you want to take shelter of a tree, you'll never ask, may I come in, right? And immediately the tree is waiting to give shade to the person. So the tree first gives the shade to the traveler. He makes the traveler feel comfortable. And then not only that, the tree gives fruits and flowers and satisfies all the basic needs and necessities of a needy. So Rama is like a tree that gives protection and he nourishes. So anyone who seeks the grace of Rama is protected. That is the first thing that Tara is saying. Just hold on, listen to me. I'll tell you about Ram, then you decide whether you want to go out or not. So Tara is explaining to Sugriva. Then she says, Sadhu Nam Apanna Nam Paragatihi. He is the ultimate recourse for all the sadhus. All the sadhus go and take protection under Ram. So she's saying, Sugriva is behaving like a sadhu, but you are not behaving like a sadhu, my dear husband, because Sugriva is actually the crown prince of Kishkindha. He is your brother. But you kicked him out. Okay, not only that, you have taken his wife Ruma when he is alive. So these things are intolerable to Ram. So in Ram's eyes, you are an aggressor. So Ram cannot tolerate what you have done. But Sugriva, being a sadhu, in a sadhu mood, he has gone and taken shelter of Ram. So Sugriva will be protected by Ram. And if needed, Ram will come and battle with you. So this is what Tara was implying. And then she says, Arthanam Samshrayaha. See, this Ram is going to give shelter to one who is distressed. At this point in time, Sugriva is a distressed person. He is under loss. Okay? And you have you have kicked him out. I mean, though he's actually your brother and he's the crown prince, he's been kicked out. So definitely Lord Ram is going to favor him. So Tara says that the grace of Ram is the only abode for people who are distressed. Even demigods, actually take shelter under the Supreme Lord. So as long as Lord Ram is standing guard to Sugriva, Sugriva cannot be conquered by you. Just as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, he'll always protect the one who has come and taken shelter under him. So like this, Tara, she begins to talk about Ram. She tells Sugriva to wait and assess. Don't go now, she says. She says Ram is endowed with knowledge of both mundane and spiritual things. He always abides by the words of his father. He is known to be an ocean of all good merits. So there are so many glories about this person who is coming and supporting Sugriva. So please, my dear husband, please don't go out now. So she again tells Vali that please listen to me, and whatever I'm saying is only for your good. I'm your wife. I'm trying to protect you. I'm telling you whatever it is for your good. I'm not. I'm a well-wisher. So please take my words seriously. So when Vali heard all this, he told his wife Tara that you have given me very good suggestions. You have shown very good friendliness to me. That is enough. I know that I have your support. You don't have to worry about Ram's doing some harm to me. Ram cannot do any harm to me. Because a person who knows all virtue will not commit sin. He will not come between two brothers. You told me about Ram's glories. You told me about how he is always listening to the words of his father and he is very protective of his own brothers. So such a person will not come and harm me. When two brothers are fighting, why would Ram come and interfere? He knows virtues, he knows values, he knows how important it is to take care of brothers. So such a person, when two brothers are having a serious fight, he will not interfere. So you don't worry about Ram, I will take care of it. These are the words that are spoken by Vali, and Vali tells this to Tara, and he says, I have to go now. I am going. Thanks for your advice. It was very nice. I feel very good that you are protective and you are a very nice wife. But now I have to go. I am not going to leave this Suprema. So he was very adamant. And then finally Tara had to give him permission. And she worshipped him and she let him go. Now, Vali came out. Sugriva and Vali began to fight again. Sugriva and Vali's fight is being, this time it's being like elaborately told in Valmiki Ramayana about how Sugriva was very, very, Vali was hitting Sugriva. Sugriva became very, very enraged, and Sugriva was uprooting huge trees and trashing it on the limbs of Vali. And Vali was picking up huge boulders and throwing it on Sugriva. And then Vali, he looked like, as if, you know, when trees were thrown on Sugriva, Sugriva was looking like a tossing ship in the ocean. And Vali was throwing trees on him. Sugriva was throwing branches on him. So like this, with trees, branches, peaks of mountains, with their nails, with their fists and knees and arms, the two monkeys were fighting very, very heavily. So it looked like as if there was a fight between Rudrasura and Indra, like we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto. So the fight was so severe, just with their mere fists and arms and nails and teeth, both the Vanaras were fighting very severely. So when the fight was going on, it was getting more and more severe. At that time, Sugriva was feeling very helpless. He was looking in all directions with his trying to somehow look out for help, trying to see where this Ram was standing, because already once Ram didn't release the arrow and Sugriva was very terribly hurt and he went away. Now Sugriva was getting scared because the fight was getting very, very serious and he was not able to spot Ram. So, but Ram was still standing around. He was just standing near a tree and he saw Sugriva's state and he saw how Sugriva was in such a state of despair. And this fearless Lord Ram, he scanned for a beautiful arrow that could eliminate Vali. He took an arrow and he released it. And this arrow that was like a flash of lightning went and fell on the chest of Vali. So from this verse, we can understand that actually Ram was not behind. Rather, he was near a tree that was in front. Because if you release an arrow and it comes and hits your chest, that means the person who is releasing the arrow is actually in the front, according to Valmiki Ramayana. He was there near behind the tree, of course. He was there near a tree. He was not like coming in front of Vali for the battle. Rather, he was at a distance near a tree. But the tree was not behind. Rather, it was in the front because the arrow that he released came and hit Vali's chest. Okay. So once the arrow released by Ram came and hit Vali's chest, Vali fell down. Vali was completely depleted of all his energy. And he fell down to the ground and he was moaning, he was screaming piteously. Though Vali fell down to earth, his brilliance or his life or the bravery, all that didn't come out of his body, didn't wither from his body. He was still, though his energy was gone and he was depleted and he was fallen on the earth, still his bravery or his resplendence, it did not go out of his body. And when he saw that arrow that was hit on his chest, he took it out and he understood that this was Lord Ram's arrow. Ram and Lakshman, they came to that spot where Vali was knocked down. And Vali looked up at Ram and he could immediately understand that this was Lord Ram's work. Now, Vali begins to speak to Lord Ram. These are some important parts of the Kishkindha Kanda. It is also the most controversial. Now people keep talking about this, the most controversial part of Kishkindha Kanda, about the conversation between Vali and Ram, the action of Ram, whether it is justified, whether it is not justified. All these are being debated to this day. But Valmiki has given proper answers and Vali himself has agreed to all the answers that Lord Ram gave during this conversation. Now first we will see what Vali asked Ram, the questions asked by Vali to Lord Ram. So the whole talk of Vali to Ram is actually in a mood of Ninda Stuti. Ninda means blaming, okay, or to find fault with. And stuti is actually glorification. So the the conversation or the way Vali talks to Ram is in that mode. So there are many commentators who have given different meanings for the words that were spoken by Vali. And there is one particular commentator in the Madhva Sampradaya called as Maheshwara Tirtha. He actually finds for every sentence that Vali speaks, he finds a meaning in glorification for every sentence. That is actually an accusation of Lord Ram. Vali is going to accuse Lord Ram of many things now. And each and every sentence that he speaks is actually a hidden glorification. This only the Acharyas can point out. Just like how in the... Just like how in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Sishupala. He was offending Krishna. He offended Krishna many times before Krishna released the Sudarshan Chakra, right? So when he was offending Krishna, actually he was, it was Ninda. He was kind of accusing him. But for every sentence he spoke, there was actually another meaning in glorification, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sridhar Swami have pointed out. For every sentence that he spoke, there's actually a hidden glorification. So just like that, whatever Vali spoke, though it was accusing Lord Ram, it is actually a glorification. It has a hidden meaning. We will not go through all the hidden meanings, but I will just tell you what Vali, because actually for every Asura who is speaking to Ram, there is an Ninda Stuti in Ramayana. Maheshwara Tirtha has pointed out different inner meanings for each verse that was spoken by all these demons. Even when Ravana speaks also, he finds such meanings. So we will not get into these inner meanings, but rather we will just see plainly what Vali was accusing Ram of. So he saw the arrow, he took it out from his chest, and he looked at Ram, and he looked at Ram with a painful heart, and he said, "Oh, Ram, you have released this arrow? You are such a renowned prince. You have such beautiful looks. But the kind of death that I am getting now, that too when I was in a commotion and a conflict with another person, this is very bad. What merit are you going to be, what merit are you achieving by killing someone who's not directly facing you, who's facing someone else and fighting with them? The whole world glorifies you, Ram, as being very highborn. They say you're very gifted. You're very resplendent. You are a follower of all vows. You are very mindful of your words and about your behavior. You are known to be an ocean of mercy. You are a person by whom people get delighted just by seeing you, just by seeing your behavior. You're considered to be a very sympathetic person. You're very enthusiastic and you're very committed to doing only good things. You're a knower of time and action. You're such a great personality. People talk about your virtues. Oh, Ram is the best. Ram is so great. Ram is so nice. He's the follower of all vows. But I can't believe that you are doing this. Seeing the dynasty from where you are, in fact, even when Tara discouraged me to go and fight with Sugriva, I told Tara that Ram will not do such a thing. Ram will not come between two brothers. Ram will not do something that is sinful. But I can't believe that you are the one who has released this arrow. I was thinking in my mind that Ram will never hurt me when I'm combating with another person, that too when I'm unvigilant. When I'm fighting with one person, I am aware of only that person in front of me who's fighting with me. I'm unvigilant of someone else who could be, simultaneously trying to attack me. I'm not guilty. I've not committed any offense in your country or in your city. And I have not tortured you in any way. I am just a vanara. Please listen to all these statements by Ram, because all these statements by Vali, because all these statements are going to be spoken by Ram is going to give answers to each of these statements that are spoken by Vali. So far he's saying, I was just fighting with a person. I didn't expect you to suddenly from nowhere shoot an arrow. Then he says, I am actually not guilty. I have not committed any mistake in your country or in your city. Neither have I tortured you. Okay, I am only a simple vanara subsisting on fruits and tubers, and I'm just moving in these forests without interfering in your business. How can you come and fight with me when I was involved in some other person? Will anybody be born in a Kshatriya family, learned in the Vedas, who knows what is right and wrong, do such a deed like this? You're learned in Shastras, you know all the Dharma Shastras. You are a Kshatriya who's following Dharma. How can you do like this? So you are supposed to be renowned as a moralist. In the whole world calls you as Ram, Maryada, Purushottam. Ram is great. He knows all moral values. But actually, you're behaving in a very immoral value. We animals are living in this forest, but you are great Kshatriya kings. We just live by eating fruits and tubers, while you people, you enjoy big feasts of all kinds of edibles. You are a man who is a prince, and what is this animalistic way of killing me? The action that you have done is worse than an animal. So why he says this is, he continues to say, why you have done something that is worse than an animal? He says, see, Rama, my skin, I'm a monkey, I'm a vanara, okay? My skin is not wearable by holy people. You know, like some animals are hunted down for skin, like tiger, it is hunted down for skin. They wear this barks of trees, or they wear skin of tiger. All that is sometimes adorned by people. So my skin, he's giving so much logic while he's telling so many things. I am after all a vanara. My skin is not wearable by holy people, by anybody. My holy people forbid my hair and bones. Like, for example, the bones of a camel is sometimes used for jewelry. Sometimes the hair of an elephant is used to make jewelry with, you know, they make rings out of the hair of an elephant studded in gold. So my hair, my bones cannot be used. My skin cannot be used. Nobody uses monkey skin for anything. And the my meat cannot be eaten by people. Generally, monkey meat is not eaten, okay? It is more of the other animals that are eaten. So there is a elaborate details on this. Tiger skin is used as a carpet. The two canine teeth, Vali is saying my teeth also cannot be used. My bones, my hair, my teeth, all that cannot be used. Tiger teeth is used for golden necklaces. They make tiger teeth. I don't know if many kids wear that ornament. Even Krishna actually, when he was a kid, he was wearing, Yashoda actually used to put this chain on him for protection with tiger teeth. So tiger is hunted down for its skin so that it can be used as a carpet. The canine teeth is used for making golden necklaces. And body parts of the tiger is known to contain medicinal properties. So a number of tigers are being hunted. Now elephant's tusk, the teeth, they are great decorative articles. Ivory, we know we can make articles from elephant's teeth. Camel's bones are made into bangles and bracelets. A rhinoceros horn has religious use as well as decorative articles. The chamara that we use, that comes from a Himalayan yak hair, right? So the yak hair is used as a chamara. Deer skin has its place in religious seats for saints and sages. So these animals, when they are hunted by Kshatriyas, only by Kshatriyas I'm saying, when they are hunted, they can be put to use. In those days, Kshatriyas used to go hunting. So when such animals were hunted, these bodily parts or the teeth or the bones or the skin was put to use for different purposes. But the skin, bones, hairs of a monkey, or for that matter, any item of a monkey cannot be used either in religious or medicinal or decorative purposes. So they are not even killed by people who go for, you know, these Kshatriya games or poaching when they go. They are not killed for absolutely anything. Why on earth are you coming and killing a vanara like me? He asks. Just because your wife, Sita, was stolen, you think you can randomly go and kill anyone because you're upset? What's wrong with you? Are you in your senses? Just because you're upset that someone kidnapped your wife, some Asura came and took away your wife, you can just come and kill a monkey and, get your, you think you'll be satisfied by doing that? Don't you have your senses under control? Sensible people will not even touch my skin or bones. And my meat is not to be eaten. Why are you killing me? In fact, Kshatriyas who want to eat meat, it is said in Shastra that pancha pancha bhaksha, that means they can kill only certain animals. What are these animals? Or fine males. Only certain fine male animals can be killed, it is said. Okay. If a Kshatriya wants to eat a meat, only certain fine male animals can be killed by him. This is done in Valmiki Ramaya. It is written, Shalya kaha, Shwavido, Godo, Godha, Shashaha, Kurmacha, Panchama. Only five types. What are those? One kind of a wild rodent, it says, wild rodent, but I think some people translate it to be a rhino, rhinoceros, porcupine, a kind of lizard or an iguana, and a hare and a turtle. Five items. Only these five animals that have five nails can be hunted by Kshatriyas. There's a code for this. Okay. I am a monkey with five nails. Okay, but monkey is not listed among these five animals. That's what Vali was trying to say. I cannot be hunted down for my body parts. I cannot be hunted down for my flesh because Shastra doesn't allow to eat a monkey, the meat of a monkey, he says this. So, and then finally he says, if you so badly wanted Maithili to come back, that is your wife to be retrieved back, I could have brought her back in one day. Why did you have to befriend Sugriva and end up killing me? So these are the different questions that is asked by Vali. I will summarize it. I'll try to summarize the questions that were asked by Vali. Very logical, sounds very logical. Now we'll see how, once I summarize this, we'll see how Ram, with the use of Rajaniti, Dharma Shastras, Manudharma Shastra, and many other scriptures, he defeats all these questions put across by Vali. So first I'll summarize the questions by Vali. By killing one who's facing away, what worth is achieved by you? You have not punished the wrongdoer. Do you think you can kill a monkey because a demon has taken away your wife? Killing one who's combating with another in an unvigilant manner is not proper. In your country or city, did I do any misdeed? I was non-guilty and I've been hurt. Fruits, tuber-eating monkeys is being killed. There is no dispute of land, gold, or silver between us. We don't have any personal conflict. Your primary aspiration is to kill me without probing into good or bad, without knowing what I did. How will you, you are supposed to be a very virtuous person, how are you going to now face the criticism of scholars? Unnecessary killers will go to hell. My skin is unwearable, my flesh is not eatable. Five kinds of final animals are only usable by humans. I am not one among them. I would have brought back Maithili in one day. Why are you behaving like this? You are not knowing what to do just because you are upset and you are separated from Sita. So these are the different accusations that was put to Lord Ram by Vali. Okay. So these are the different accusations. Now Ram, he carefully listened to everything. And he was listening to everything without opening his mouth or arguing point to point with Vali while he was speaking. He was silently listening to everything. And after Vali finished speaking everything, Ram carefully listened to all this. And Ram gives answers and he justifies how the elimination of Vali was actually correct. Okay, he gives his justification. Now, what is the justification that Ram gives? So these answers are given by Ram in the Valmiki Ramayana, and Valmiki has recorded all these answers, and at the end of giving all these answers, Vali said, yes, you are correct, Ram. All the answers that you are given is correct, and I am satisfied, and he dies. In fact, before he dies, they have a friendly conversation, and then he dies. So Vali was satisfied, Valmiki is satisfied, Ram is satisfied, everyone is satisfied, they have given the answers. Now we'll see what are the answers given by Ram. Okay. So he begins to speak. Sugriva, you mentioned that I don't have right over this land. That is, Vali's question is, I have not done any misdeed either in your country or your city. Okay. So Vali gives this point that what mistake have I done? I've not interfered. There is no question of dispute between us. I've not done any mistake in your land, okay, in front of you. So for this question, Ram gives this answer. Ikshvakunam iyam bhumihi sa shailavana vakanana mrigapakshi manushyanam nikraha anugraheshu api. This earth with its mountains, woods and forests and even the whole thing, everything, all the species of animals, birds, humans on it, everything belongs to the Ikshvaku, because the Ikshvaku dynasty, they were the emperors. These little kingdoms, this little Kishkindha kingdom comes within the Ikshvaku dynasty. It is within the Ikshvaku kingdom, the entire earth. They were the emperor for the entire earth. So we have right on this land. Kishkindha is also within the Ikshvaku dynasty because the whole earth belonged to them when they were the emperors. So this entire earth is under the Ikshvaku kingdom. Bharata is ruling the city and I am in the forest. I am in the forest taking care of the forest. You are saying this is not my land, but indeed it is, because Kishkindha is also under the rule of Ayodhya and the Ikshvakus are responsible for keeping up dharma in this land. Whatever laws are being set are set by the Ikshvakus. I am a servant. I have been sent as a servant of Bharata to take care of the forest and make sure the dharma is established in other areas other than the city, because he was banished from the city. But in Ayodhya Kanda itself, there is a conversation between Bharata and Rama where Rama says, Bharata, you become the king of humans and I shall be the king of the forest beings. So therefore, Rama took the responsibility on his shoulders to take care of the forest. That's why in the previous chapters, we saw the previous Kanda also, we saw how Ram, Lakshman, when they were trekking the forest, they were upkeeping dharma, that is, they were eliminating all the demons and protecting all the sadhus. That is what they were doing in the entire previous Kanda, because that was their service to Bharata, in the sense the brothers had shared their service. Because Ram was banished from the city, he was not allowed to live in the city, he was taking care of the forests. Okay, so it was his responsibility to upkeep dharma because he is a part of the Ikshvaku dynasty. Now, being you say that you are the king of Kishkindha. Okay, now first of all, your kingdom is within my kingdom. That is the first thing. So when I see some adharma happening in front of my eyes, I must question it. This is Ram's argument. Okay, then he says, you say that you are a small king in Kishkindha, but when a woman was being kidnapped around this area and you are a king, it is your responsibility to take some action. You were simply seeing Sita being kidnapped. You didn't even, how Jata you tried to confront. You didn't even do anything. You were just looking up at the air with your mouth open. You didn't do anything at that time. Okay, because you are the king. Vali was the king of Kishkindha. He should have taken care of it. But he didn't do anything. He just let Ravana take away Sita. He didn't stop Ravana. That is one thing that Ram points out at this point. He says, you are saying that you are a great king, you are taking care of this Kishkindha area, but what did you do as a king, he's asking. Okay, next. To fight between two people, when two people are fighting, there is actually no necessity to know each other. Because the question Vali asks is there any personal fight between us? Why are you unnecessarily coming and whacking me down? So at that time, Ram says, to fight, there is no necessity to know each other. If there is an enemy who is trying to attack a kingdom, the king wouldn't want to know about the personal details about that enemy. If someone is trying to attack, you'll just go attack. So when two people are fighting, there's actually no necessity for them to know each other's history or introduction. It is actually not required when two people are fighting. Third, I am hunting you because you are an animal. Okay, he's saying this. When animals are hunted, we hide and hunt. Okay, a hunter never kills an animal. He'll not go and ask the tiger, oh, tiger, come with me for a fight. Let's have a duel. Okay, you bite with your teeth and you attack me with your nails. I will fight with my arrows. No Kshatriya will go and do that in front of an animal. What will Kshatriyas do? They will go behind a tree, behind bushes. They will hit an arrow. They'll take the animal and they will come. So you yourself said you are an animal, because Vali already says that I am after all a fruit and tuber eating animal. How can you hunt me down? You know, he asks this. So you yourself said that you are an animal. When we hunt animals, we hide and hunt. A hunter can kill an animal while being at a tree, while being concealed at bushes. So the Kshatriya codes allows one to do that. One can hide and hunt. That's why I have killed you and I have not done anything wrong in that. You're asking what mistake you did. So Grivia asks, Vali asks, what is my fault? I didn't do any sin, he says that, right? So for that, Ram says, you're asking me what mistake you did. I will tell you what mistake you did. Just for this mistake, you're punishable at any cost. What you have done is, Sugriva came and surrendered to you. Sugriva is a brother. That means he's like your son, okay, younger brother. According to Rajaniti, you're supposed to forgive him. First thing is, a person who comes and surrenders to you and says, I've done a mistake, please forgive me, according to Rajaniti, you'd say that I know codes of Shastras and I have not followed it properly, but listen to what you have done and why you are, I have to kill you. Because you didn't follow the codes of Rajaniti properly. You did not forgive Sugriva. In spite of Sugriva begging you so much again and again and trying to explain things to you, you didn't care to listen to him. Not only did you throw him away from the kingdom and you kept giving him trouble, you also forcibly took away his wife when her husband is alive. When Sugriva was alive, he took away Ruma forcefully. Okay, Ruma didn't say, I want to come with you. He took her forcefully. So according to Manu Dharma Shastra, a sister-in-law is like a daughter. That means younger brother's wife is supposed to be seen like a daughter. If anyone misbehaves with a person who's like a daughter, according to Manodharma Shastra, you can kill that person. This is there in Manodharma Shastra. Now, when Sugriva is still alive, you have been very sinful and you have lustily misbehaved with Roma. So that is not acceptable because she must be counted as your daughter or a daughter-in-law. Because of this, I consider you as an aggressor, Atatai, they say, right? Aggressor. Even in Bhagavad Gita, we come across this, how the Kauravas were actually aggressors. And Krishna says it is fine to kill an aggressor. So in the Vedic scriptures, it is described that a person coming as an aggressor with wrong intentions, he deserves to be killed. And there is no sin in killing such a person by whatever means. Because Vali also says that you are going to incur sin by killing me because I am innocent. But Ram is saying, I'm not going to get any sin by killing you. You are meant to be killed because you are an aggressor. If somebody, the different kinds of aggressors is explained, like, you know, taking away a person's wife, setting a house to fire, steal away one property, like that. There are many definitions of what all an aggressor does. So such an aggressor is meant to be killed. And when one kills, when a Kshatriya alone, not anyone can go and kill an aggressor, a Kshatriya who's in charge of upkeep of dharma can kill an aggressor. So when a Kshatriya kills such an aggressor, there is no sin incurred by the Kshatriya. Those who are meant to be the upholders of law will not incur any sin of killing such an aggressor. So in fact, they should give punishment according to law. So Lord Ram said that for no good reason you have actually wronged your brother, you have taken away his wife, you are an aggressor, so there is no wrong in me killing an aggressor. Now, one more thing he says, Lord Ram says, you are saying that I have committed a sin, but according to Rajadharma, if a Kshatriya doesn't punish a person who has committed a sin, the king actually gets the sin. Did you understand that? Supposing I am a king and I have to punish a person who has done a mistake, if I let him go, seeing that he is committing a sin, then I get the sin of not punishing him properly. So, when kings impose proper punishment on human beings who have sinned, they become sinless. The person who has committed the sin gets absolved of that sin and they enter heaven and they get all pious merits. But, this is the law of Manu, but if a person who is the king is not giving proper punishment to a sinful person, the king receives the sin of the person who has committed the sin. So this is again a verse of Manu Dharma Shastra. So then he finally, Ram says, my association with Sugriva is as good as that of Lakshmana. You are saying that you would have brought back Maithili in one day, but I am saying that if I had made friendship with you, what is the use? You're after all an aggressor and you have taken someone else's wife and you're keeping someone else's wife with you. What is the use of me keeping friendship with you trying to get back my wife? Then who will bring back Sugriva's wife for him? So this combination is not correct. I have taken the right decision of befriending Sugriva and not you. That's why I didn't befriend you. So when he heard all this, actually I wanted to finish this part because if I leave it without finishing, it won't be proper. So that's why I'm taking more time. Forgive me for doing that. I know it's already cross time, but I have to finish it. So I'll just finish it as early as possible. I don't want to leave it half done. Okay. So Ram explained all these answers. Sugriva heard all of it. He folded his palms and then he said, actually, all that you have said is correct. Whatever you have told is correct. You've given me proper answers. You've given me answers to all my questions. Whatever I spoke earlier was out of anguish and distress. And truly, you've pointed it out that it was not in line of dharma. When I initially spoke, I thought I am speaking with all dharmic values. But you have pointed out with shastric explanation that I was not actually following dharma. And I have been a transgressor. And indeed, whatever you did is actually righteous. So then Vali, he called out to Ram with a choked voice and he told him, my dear son Angada is here and this Angada is very, very dear to me. He's more dear to me than my wife. He's more dear to me than anyone else. So this Angada is waiting for me here. Now this Angada, he will be fatherless now. So you have to please take care of Angada. Please make sure that Sugriva and yourself take care of Angada very nicely. Not only that, please take care of my wife also. He tells Sugriva to please take care of Tara. Please take care of Tara and treat her well. Don't think of her as my wife. Hereafter, please take very good care of her and give her all that she needs. So after a pause, Vali said, Rama, you are the Lord of all people. I blamed you when your arrow hit me and it rendered me motionless. And I blamed you without thinking properly. So please pardon me for all the accusations that I made on you. I please beg you only for this. Take care of Angada. Take care of Thara. Make sure that they are given everything. And also please forgive me. So like this, Vali finishes his statement. Now, ultimately, if you look at this whole thing, Vali is not an evil person. He was not a demon. He was not a demon like Ravana. He was a very powerful person. And to some extent, he was very proud because of his power. And the mistake he did was he seriously misunderstood Sugriva's intentions. So the arrogance that had come from his power was now removed by the arrow that went through his body, the arrow of Lord Ram. So actually, Lord Ram's arrow and Lord Ram's words purified Vali, and it brought out the natural devotion that is there in the heart of Vali. Because, at the end of his, when he was about to leave his body, Vali asked for forgiveness. He understood his mistake. And he tells Ram, your presence is the greatest fortune of my life. That when I'm leaving my body, I'm so fortunate to be in your presence. Vali became completely purified. And before he died, actually, he cannot die when the necklace, this is one thing that I didn't mention in the previous sessions. Vali always adorned a particular necklace with a big gem. So as long as that necklace was on his neck, nobody could do anything to him. It was giving him a lot of power, and he was blessed by the demigods. So Vali at this time, because as long as the necklace was there in his chest, he's not going to die. Though he was rendered motionless, and though he was, in a lot of pain, he was not able to die. So he takes out that necklace, and he gives it to Sugriva. He doesn't give it to Angada. He gives it to Sugriva because there is so much change in the heart of Vali. Because, it's a natural thing for a person to give their possessed jewel to a son. Nobody could have blamed him, but still, Vali takes the decision to give it to Sugriva because he was completely transformed in his heart, and he was also convinced by the answer that Lord Ramachandra gave. And he asks Sugriva also forgiveness, and he gives his necklace. Before that, he tells Sugriva to please take care of Angada as his son and not bear any grudge against Angada or Thara for whatever had happened. So Lord Ram was, he was very happy to pass away in the presence of Lord Ram, and he attained the Supreme Abode. So he went back to Godhead, and he told Angada also to serve Sugriva just like a father, just like how he would see Vali. Now, he also told Thara to go and assist Sugriva and serve him. That's why Thara actually later lives with Sugriva. They cohabit actually. This was an instruction given by Vali. And he also requests Ram to please take care of everyone and not have any hatred after his leaving. And of course, Ram will not have any hatred. That is an accepted thing because he is Lord Ram. He wouldn't be holding grudge against Angada or against Thara. So Vali was convinced with all the answers, and the conviction was actually demonstrated through the transformation. However, there is only one last point I wanted to make. There may be one question that still remains, because even to this day, you see there are a lot of debates on this topic. Though Valmiki has closed the case, Vali has accepted that he had made a mistake, and he accepts all the arguments given by Lord Ram. But still, even to this day, people keep talking about it, whether what Lord Ram did was right or wrong, right? So this is a common thing that is being spoken of again and again. Still, a question may remain. Why did Lord Ram have to kill Vali like that? Why didn't he kill him directly in the battle? He could have, right? But he didn't. So this part of the story that I'm going to say is not in the Valmiki Ramayana, but it is there in the other retelling of Ramayana by different acharyas. So we'll just see that one particular point and we'll close for today. Vali had earlier performed tapasya and he got blessings from demigods. He wanted immortality, but he couldn't get any immortality from the demigods because only, you get immortality only when you perform devotional service and you go back to the spiritual world. So when Vali had asked for immortality, what happened was he was given this necklace that he could wear. And the power of that necklace was that anyone who was fighting in front of him would get half whatever power that person had. Supposing Vali was fighting with Sugriva, whatever power that Sugriva had, 50% of it would come to Vali. So Vali would get, if Vali has 100 units, and if someone, the enemy had 100 units equal to him, if both Vali and Sugriva were equal, then what would happen is that Vali would get 150 units of power and Sugriva would be left with 50 units. This is the benediction that he had. Okay, the opponent's 50% power would come to him. So like this, generally when Vali would go to a combat with someone face to face, that person would automatically lose. Vali would always be victorious because he would get so much power. So Ram, now in the case of Ram, Ram could have still gone and fought with him face to face because Ram is the Supreme Lord, right? Like if you say, if I have one donut and I give away 50% of that donut, I am left with only the remaining half. That is me. But if it is Lord Ram, Lord Ram is like the fire. So if you, you cannot, even if how much ever you take from the fire, that fire is going to remain whole. Just like how we say Om Purnamada Purnamidam, he's complete, right? So even if he stands in front of Vali and fights, his power is not going to go because he's the Supreme Lord. He's not demigod. He's the Supreme Lord. But still, Ram didn't do that just to honor the benediction of the Devatas. He arranged the whole thing of Vali being killed in such a way that he was not facing him, such that Vali was looking away from him because he didn't want to. He never demonstrated very openly that, look, I am the Supreme Lord in many of his leelas. He never openly demonstrated. So to honor the words given by the demigod, Ram stood away and he struck the arrow. So this is not there in the Valmiki Ramayana, but this answer is given in other places, other retellings of Ramayana. But the most important lesson we learn from this entire pastime is the danger that arises from misunderstanding. Though our intentions may be good, if there is a slight misunderstanding, lack of proper communication between close people, it can result in a very great disaster. So I'll end with this. And if you have, sorry for continuing so long, if you have any questions, realizations, any corrections you want to add, please go ahead. Thank you all so much for your patience. Hare Krishna. I'll unmute everyone.
Very wonderful, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Vilasini Mataji, this is Kamalaki Rasi. Very nice.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Gaurangi.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
As usual, it was so relishable. And as usual, of course, I'm going to ask you for recording.
Definitely, Mataji. Thank you so much for your blessings. Definitely, yes. I will send the recording. Yes.
Thank you so much. Also, I do actually have just a couple of, I hope, quick questions.
Yes, Mataji.
I just wonder, you know, the answers given by Ram seem so satisfactory.
Oh, nice.
And Vali himself accepted wholeheartedly his answers. So why should debate be existing at all? I don't understand.
But even to this day, yes, the debate goes on and on.
But even though they heard Ram's answers and Vali's acceptance, I don't understand why there should be debate.
Yeah.
There's no answer for that, huh?
There's no answer.
Okay. And then the other question I had was, you know, it is surprising that, you know, Vali as king could simply watch somebody else's wife be abducted. Was that just for the sake of Leela or... why would he do that?
No, actually, it is mentioned that he had a deal with Ravana that they would overlook. Once he had a combat with Ravana also, Vali, Vali came out victorious, and then they had a deal that he wouldn't question Ravana or Ravana wouldn't question him after that. Like, you know, they would let each other go. He actually made friendship with Ravana, Vali, later. So this is also one thing that is pointed out that, you know, actually being, you know, when... Lord descended as Lord Ram, the demigods also descended to assist as Vanaras, right? So he was actually Indra. He was an Amsha of Indra, this Vali. But still, he made friendship with Ravana instead of making proper friendship with Ram. So he's being accused of that because he let, he silently kept quiet because he had a deal with Ravana. He silently kept quiet and let Sita be kidnapped. So he did a mistake, actually.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, boy, for every point in the story, there's a million other.
A
million other stories and points. Yeah. Nice. Thank you very much, Madhavi.
Yeah, thank you, Madhavi.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a wonderful class. Actually, the answers explained by Lord Rama are very important to us because someone can argue with us, so we can answer them correctly. So thank you so much, Mataji, for explaining so nicely. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Anyone else has any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you all again. Thank you for your patient listening. Sorry for the delay. We'll end the call now. Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanepya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavranda Kijai Srila Prabhupada Kijai Srimad Valmiki Ramayana Kijai All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.